As we grew and we made money, we invested back in our business. We knew if we had a strong bench, we were able to figure out the right people on the right seat of the bus. And when the time was right, then we were ready to make our next leap.
I'm Patrick Pacheco, and you're listening to season 5 of In Good Companies from Cadence Bank, the podcast where we guide you through the forces shaping your business, inside and out. Hey, folks, here's a question for you. What do 87% of U.S. businesses have in common? Just a hint. It's not their industry or their capital size. It's something to do with values, relationships, and passing down craftsmanship from generation to generation. You got it. I'm talking about family-owned businesses. In the U.S., these businesses make up the majority of the market and employ more than half of the population. So how do you grow your business as a family? And what are the challenges of fast expansion in smaller-sized companies? Well, today, I have not one, not two, but three guests to help me answer that question.
Ryan Malone, I'm Vice President of E. Cornell Malone Corporation.
Roman Malone, I'm President.
Cornell Malone, I'm the CEO of the company.
This is the Malone family. They run E.C. Malone Corporation, and Cornell first founded the company 50 years ago. Like his father before him, he built his enterprise from the ground up with one goal in mind: make roofing aspirational.
Back in the 80s, I'd say, the word roofing, a roofing contractor, it didn't carry very much respect, but I don't have quitting on my mind, I'll just tell you.
Proof is in the pudding, as they say in Hattiesburg. What was once a one-man operation in southern Mississippi is now a multi-state company making millions in revenue. Cornell passed on his expertise to his sons, Ryan and Roman. And between the three of them, they've got their hands full.
Cornell's handling the finance. I'm handling the construction. Roman's handling the upper level and a lot on the sales and communication. We are generally in three different cities pretty much every day.
And roofing? It's still the heart of what they do. From residential to commercial, the Malones provide full roofing services across the South, as well as maintenance work, wall paneling. In other words,
I like to tell people if it involves a roof, we need to be talking. That's what we do.
So today, the Malones take us back in time to retrace their story of success and succession. We'll discuss the challenges of scaling up and find out how unique family culture can help grow a business beyond all expectations. Ready? Let's go. So let's talk about the family background, since at the root of what you do. You know, Cornell, what was your background? How did you get into roofing?
Well, it came pretty naturally. My father was in it. And when I was about 12 years old, we had to leave the house and go to work with Daddy during the summer and every holiday during school. And it just became a natural thing to follow my dad around. And I had been working at a grocery store through high school. And I realized I could make more money if I helped my daddy. So I started roofing and going to college at the same time. And I just followed my daddy's lead, and here we are.
That's excellent. I worked construction all growing up, and my first professional job. And I think after the first week, I was going, can I go out and dig a hole or do something where I can see some, you know, a product of my work? So it's a little bit different. So you founded the company in 1973. What did the business look like at that time?
We started with basically zero. My dad was in the process of retiring, but I came from a large family. And I just decided I didn't want to work in the, quote, family business, so I would go out and start my own. And my daddy said, sure, if that's what you want to do, go for it. So at 23 years old, I went for it. And at the beginning, missed the phone book by about a month, so we ran a services offered in the paper, and we just picked up little odd jobs for the first year. First year, we did about $70,000 worth of business. That's not profit. That's volume. And we've come a long way since then. There's been a lot of sweat, a lot of rainstorms, and a lot of projects. And we've gone from 70,000 to the category of 50 million plus.
This growth is astonishing. But it's important to understand how it happened, because businesses don't just boom. For Cornell in the early days, word of mouth went a long way. But things really took off when he went looking for opportunities.
I mean, with my father just being a man that believed in quality, the word got around that we had started this company. The work started coming in, but we were very, very small. And then an opportunity came along. We had a hailstorm about a year and a half after we started. And almost every building in Hattiesburg had to be re-roofed. And we really got a boost during that period of time. And then I connected with a good general contractor from Mississippi who was building a lot of schools down in Louisiana. And I followed them, and we started traveling like to Jackson, Mississippi. There was a lot of work up there, and we were bringing all of our labor out of Hattiesburg. We would sometimes travel 4, 5, maybe even 6 hours. And we came up with an idea of hiring some people in the major towns that we were working in. We figured that we would get much better personnel, that we would be better off having offices where the bulk of our work is instead of traveling the highway in vans. And then from then on, it was just a slow, steady growth. But it really, really came on strong as my two sons started getting out of school and coming to work. What year, Joe? 1990?
Well, technically, we were born in it.
Yes, they had to go to work with me like I had to go to work with my daddy.
When you're a Malone, you're never too young to participate. Carrying on the family tradition, Cornell knew the best way to learn is through experience, doing the odd job. So when they were old enough, he put his sons in the field. Ryan remembers it still.
Started working at the age of 13. Obviously, Cornell gave us a break. He had to go in at 12. So, in doing that, we were just working small jobs, picking up trash. Year two, turned 14, graduated into being able to run a screw gun and put in some screws. Well, I was really hitting it big then. So we were growing up as the working people. We went to school, we went to work. Even in the part of the year that we weren't doing roofing, when it came weekend time, we always had projects. We were building decks, we were building fences. As years went through, we progressed. We got into doing some more technical things. Roman and I both went into doing sheet metal. That was one of the focuses Cornell put us into as the metal end of our company. In 1996, I graduated high school, went to college, and Cornell had always told us, you know, this is hard work. You may want to look at something else. But as I'd work and as I'd learn things, it just became natural fit that I wanted to be in the roofing business. Roofing is just one of those things that you either love it or you don't.
For Roman, the love was there too, of course. But let's just say it grew over time.
I'm 2 years older than Ryan, so I got the first taste of it, and it wasn't a good taste. If you don't know much about roofing, there's a roofing, old-time roofing called coal tar pitch, and that was the first tear-off I was a part of, and I didn't know anything about it, but it gets down in your skin, and it was 100 degrees that day, and sweat rolling down my eyes, and my eyes swelled shut, my throat closed, I couldn't see for a couple of days, it was miserable, and I was like, man, I don't know about this. But I went through school, I worked all the summers, and so I wasn't just going to halfway do something, we worked hard to do it right. And so I went to college and continued working in the summers, met my wife, who I'm married to now, and started realizing I was around people in college, and they were like, they're working at the restaurants at night trying to make the ends meet, and they weren't real sure what they were going to do for a living. And I started realizing, I was like, you know what I have? I have an opportunity is what I have. And that's when it really hit me. I was like, you know what? I like this business, and I can do something with this. My junior year of college is when that happened, and I couldn't graduate fast enough when I had figured that out. I mean, I'd take night classes, summer school, whatever I could do to graduate on time. I got in there, and Dad taught me a bunch of things, and we were like, you know what? Let's try and figure out a better way of doing this. And that was really my focus, is there's got to be a better way that somebody around here hasn't thought of before. And we challenged ourselves and really taking off and going to another level.
So you come in, what are some of the ideas you had that got implemented? And what were some of the first things you put in place that Dad liked and helped you guys, build your success?
That's a really good question. Back then, the way that you sold work was you went to plan rooms and you, so he would go to the plan room during the day and he would measure up all these buildings with this scale ruler manually. And he'd come back and he'd stay in my hotel at night and I watched him. He was putting together estimates with the old calculator and the yellow pad. And he was had his pencil going and he'd erase this and scratch that out. And I told him, I said, Dad, man, there's a better way of doing this. And he said, well, I don't know how to do that. You know, I said, well, look, if you'll teach me how to do estimating, I'll build us an estimate program. And I said, you know, I've learned how to use Microsoft Excel. I'm really good at it. I'll build this. Now, this was in about 98 or 99. And one thing that my dad did that I'm really thankful of is he let us try things and figure it out on our own. And so what I did was I started building our estimate program and started automating things. And we're not talking about just simple Excel. These were pivot tables. It was high-end stuff, all kinds of formulas that were, you know, 200 characters long. I mean, it was a pretty complex estimate sheet that created a lot of automation. Well, guess what? This was great, but nobody could run it. That was kind of the next phase of this is, okay, I need some help.
At times, we all need a little help. So Cornell pulled Roman out of the field and found him a place on the sales side.
He started teaching me the office part of what we do and the sales part of what we do. So I would come in early in the morning, I'd measure up and I'd break metal. I'd get my crews in and they'd go out and I'd go measure up metal for that afternoon. And then I'd come in later in the day and I'd sit there and work with him on he would teach me, you know, all the units, everything about there was about roofing. I learned so much by doing that. And I started estimating jobs for him and they were accurate. There was not really any errors. And we started perfecting a sheet. And that's when the transition started to happen.
Let me comment on that. Roman had a little something in him that I have. He had the lack of patience. I didn't even know how to turn a laptop or a desktop computer on. He got impatient with me. So I went back to Pearl River Community College and took computer classes and got far enough along that he wouldn't just storm out of the room because I couldn't put a formula together. So, I mean, we started way early when technology entered the world today. That's been very instrumental in us usually being ahead of our competition in development.
This knack for technology and innovation still drives EC Malone today.
We started about 5 years ago building our own platform because there were several platforms on the market. Some were built towards residential. Maybe they were a little bit simplified, too simplified for what we needed. Some of them were built towards commercial. Maybe they were a little bit too complex. And, you know, we do both residential and commercial. And I just couldn't find anything that I was really pleased with. And, I talked to Cornell, talked to Ryan. I said, you know, let's build our own platform. Let's build our own CRM platform, and it was supposed to be just an estimating platform. Well, then you get into it. Estimates lead to proposals. Proposals lead to contracts. Contracts leads to purchase orders, and that's kind of been our next project that we've been working on.
Technology. It's a powerful tool for growth, but it's not the only reason behind the Malone success. Fate and luck also had something to do with it. Let's return to our timeline for a moment. In the 70s, Cornell starts the business. And for the next two decades, EC Malone grows at a steady pace. In the 90s, a new generation joins. Ryan and Roman are on board. Coast is clear, wind in their sails. So far, so good. But at the turn of the millennium, things change. And they change fast because of two major catastrophes.
We got hit with some hurricanes. Ivan in 2004, Hurricane Katrina in 2005, they were really kind of close together, probably less than a year apart. And so at the time, we were actually new to Florida. It hit the Florida panhandle. And so we went through Ivan and we had extreme rapid growth and you just could sell anything and you just were doing all this stuff. That was the easy part. But when you were trying to maintain this new volume, keeping up with the sales, keeping up with the crews going on. You're bringing in new people. You're trying to adapt them to your culture instantly. Well, this took us years to develop that culture. And your processes that you had aren't really able to keep up with this abundance of growth that we pretty much tripled in about a year and a half period, stretched into Florida, all along the Mississippi coast, even down in Louisiana. We just had a lot of issues to tackle on how to become a company that can scale and can work all this large geography. And so we actually decided to scale back a little bit and let's work on building our processes, our procedures. Let's work on training our people. Let's build the right teams. And that's actually what we did for about an 8-year period before we decided to grow again.
And that's a tough decision to make, to hit the pause button and say, okay, we want to stay here for a period of time before we grow again. And I think a lot of businesses make that mistake. They just see that. They see the dollar signs at the end of the day and they think, well, we'll do this. And they're just not prepared to do it.
I'd like to add to that too. As we grew and we made money, we invested back in our business and invested back in our people. So what we did was we started working on building our bench. We knew if we had a strong bench, people that were ready to take the next level and take on more ownership of the company, then we could grow when the time was right. The next thing we did was we created divisions. Everything is its own profit center. There's somebody in charge of each profit center. So now we have accountability. We have a strong bench and we can measure their success. And by doing that, we were able to figure out the right people on the right seat of the bus. And when the time was right, then we were ready to make our next leap.
So I imagine with the number of divisions and what you guys do, there's a lot of hats to be worn. How do you guys coordinate that?
So I spent a good bit of time on sales and also working on our processes and procedures. That's a big part of what I do as far as management, trying to figure out a better way to do something and also to make sure that each division is following those processes and procedures accordingly.
So I feel your pain. That process and procedure part, it seems like it should be so straightforward, and sometimes it's just not quite as straightforward as you think it is.
Well, if you're going to grow to multiple locations and multiple divisions and things like that, you have to do that. You just can't let each division do it a different way or you end up going in different directions.
I'm Taylor, and here's your Cadence Bank tip of the week. Is your business capitalizing on its excess cash? A forward-thinking bank should help you earn interest on idle funds. By offering competitive interest rates on business saving accounts and money market accounts, your bank can help you make the most of your liquid assets. At Cadence Bank, we make sure your money works as hard as you do. Thanks for tuning in to In Good Companies.
You talked about growing your people. You know, Ryan, you said a lot of your expertise was that you learned on the tar. What is it you do that you really helps you grow your people into that culture? And how has that changed what you're doing on the ground to be functional?
Well, one of the biggest things I see with it is hiring the right people. You know, when you think of hiring people, you think of what knowledge they have, what they can do. But trying to basically make them like a Malone is a very difficult thing. When we were small, either Roman, Cornell, or myself pretty much ran everything. Now we got to get other people to do what we used to do. So it's hard to take somebody that doesn't fit your culture and mold them into it. So take somebody that shares common interest with you. We looked at people that we thought would mesh with our team and that would be good in our culture. All of our employees became the Malone family, and that's how we grow today, is they're part of our family.
Let me add to that. As we were trying to put this together, we got better people when we decided to have benefits. I mean, the roofing business is just, you got your paycheck, that's it. And we started having vacation pay and holiday pay and profit sharing type pay and bonus programs and budgets. And if they beat the budget, they would get a bonus. And we just kept putting programs in. And then we have a guy that he hasn't retired yet. He's been with us over 40 years. We have numbers of people that's been with us 15 and 20 years. Retaining employees was a big step in us getting to where we're the organized company we are that can produce the quality that we produce.
So you see, when we talk about scaling up, it's not just growing your clientele or your processes. It's also about getting the right people in the door. You want to build a culture where everybody is on the same page. And when communication is difficult, you need to change your ways. Roman sees this with clients as well.
The biggest complaint that I would get was that we didn't communicate very well from the outside, from our operations side. And that was a challenging one to kind of overcome. Our people were filling out daily reports. And so we had them fill them out, and we set them up where they would automatically email at 8 o'clock every night. So now all of a sudden they're filling out their daily reports, but our customers are getting these. our customers didn't have the need to have interaction on the phone now as much because they were reading, they were seeing the pictures, everything was marked on our progress. And it was really a simple fix, but it took us several years to figure it out. And we had to implement the technology to get there to be able to do that. But once we did that, it changed our communication overnight.
Yeah, one thing I remember that when I worked construction is, you know, customers get mad when you don't show up at a job site. And they don't realize that it's too wet to work, or you can't, you know, it's too cold, you can't pour concrete, and the temperature. And if you're not going to show up, what do you do? I mean, you let clients know and explain what the situation is.
Yeah, so we do a couple of things. With these daily reports, we also have the five-day forecast in there. And as a rule of thumb, we set them up on the front end. The majority of the work we do is tearing off roofs, more so than new construction. Our rule of thumb is if it's 30% or greater, we generally don't tear off that day. Well, by having this five-day forecast on there, you can really see what the next 5 days look like. That's the first step. The second step is our superintendents, they know that they got to get with the customer. It's their responsibility to make sure that they communicate, hey, we're maybe going to be in a little later tomorrow because it may be an early morning shower, or it looks 2 days of high chance of rain. We're not going to be able to tear off the next 2 days. Or they've done such a really good job of just stepping up and communicating with the customers. So those are the two things we do.
The power of a good email just can't beat it. But all jokes aside, sometimes small things can make a big difference.
Customer experience, you guys have talked about that a lot. And, you know, I don't think people, when they look up, they see a roof, they don't really think, you know, how much care, how many things can go wrong. It can look good either way. And you can have one that leaks like a sieve and one that's perfectly watertight. And yeah, Cornell, it sounds like that was really your big focus, is really doing it right and the customer experience that comes from doing it right.
Absolutely. My father, I mean, it was all about quality. And early on in our career, I went to a national roofing convention in Atlanta, and they had big billboards, and I noticed a sign on top of one of the buildings, and the billboard said, "Think professional." So I adopted a motto that we put on our trucks and all of our stationery, "Hire a professional." And we ran that with that logo for a lot of years, and it is contagious. When you go out around your personnel, it builds a sense of pride. And I learned early on that you couldn't be the cheapest and be the best. We chose to work on quality.
Listening to Cornell, I'm starting to think that pride might be the secret ingredient. You know, when the going gets tough, it's what keeps you moving. Pride carries your work forward. And it's also what you leave with the next generation.
I'm proud of the way my sons have turned out and the dedication they've had. And I was somewhat strict on them, but I mean, I knew a lot of people in Hattiesburg. You wouldn't believe how many people told me that you don't raise kids like that anymore, Cornell. People don't raise kids like that anymore. And I said, look, you go raise your kids the way you want to, and I'm going to raise mine the way I want to. So.
You got to be just proud as hell to be part of this family. You like just coming into the office every day?
Oh, I love it. You just made chills go through me just to think about it. Who could dream of a life any better? That takes some intelligent people to be able to understand that right now we're family when we go to work and we have to work as professionals. But I just tell you, I can't describe how personally I'm satisfied with the way things have turned out, the way my sons have turned out, and the way they're raising their children.
And the children, they don't have to decide just now. But if they ever want to get into the family business, they'll know where to start.
A job is always available if they want to come in, but the way Roman and I came in, and I think that's the only way I would ever do my kids, is you come in, you start a job, but you'll earn your way up the same way that every other employee does. We were not handed running it different departments. We earned it. We became the best at it. We became the best organizers, and that's how we grew to be where we're at. We didn't get it because I was Cornell's son, and they won't get it because they're my son.
And Roman, what do you think?
They're not going to do anything that you force them to do. They've got to want to do it. And so I think it's important that we show them what's available. We show them the opportunities that are here. But if their heart's not where they, not that they want to be here, then they don't need to be here. That's not healthy for our organization, and it's not going to be healthy for our family. But what we do is we teach them things. They're around it. They've grown up in it. They spent summers going to our organizational meetings and stuff like that. They've become part of the roofing community. They don't realize it, but they have. And so they have a lot of connections. They have a lot of background there. And, you know, we'll see how it all turns out. All we can do is lay out the foundation.
Strong family bonds and an open vision for the future. That's the Malone Corporation today. As for tomorrow,
the future's bright, Patrick. We're really excited about it. We just recently purchased a 115,000 square foot building. It's state of the art. It's first class. In our industry, nobody has anything close to this, and it's going to be the next pattern for the next level of our business. We're already renovating it right now. People are so excited to get in there, and it's just, you know, we've got this culture that people are excited to be here. Now we're going to have a first class facility to match it, and it's got room for growth. And so the next phase of this is really going to be building our foundation to grow again.
First, you lay your foundation, and then you build. That's the Malone blueprint for success. Plain and simple, right? Well, maybe not, but it's a good place to start. So remember, your skill, your ethics, and your mission are the heart of your business. Use them to build a great reputation. When you provide quality service, word will spread. That will give you momentum to seek new opportunities. As you grow in volume, be mindful of your internal processes. Ask yourself, what is the best way to communicate with our clients? What gets information across faster on all sides? Technology might be the answer, but no matter what, keep things simple. As you scale up, you need to grow your culture too. And when you're a family business, it might be something you've never done. So look for the people who fit with your way of thinking and give them reasons to stay, whether that's benefits or professional development. When your team feels like family, then teammates will stick around. And finally, remember, whatever industry you're in, you'll learn best from experience. So no matter what, get in the field. There's always room to grow. And it's not just me saying it.
You're a very lucky person if going to work is like going to play. And I feel like I get up every morning and I'm ready to play another day. I never know what's going to be ahead of me, what the challenges are, what our failures are. There have been times that I didn't know how we were going to pay that next invoice. But we learn from each other. It's just a way of life around here that we are striving for the best. I'm 73 years old, but I don't quite have it all figured out yet.
I'd like to thank Cornell Malone and his two sons, Roman and Ryan, for sharing their passion for roofing and for showing us that in business and in life, growth happens at every stage. As for us, we'll see each other next week. Until then. Do you have stories you want to hear? Now's your chance to share. Email our producer at media.relations@cadencebank.com with the topics and voices that inspire you. For more information, open your app. Scroll the show notes, and you'll find us. No funny business. In Good Companies is a podcast from Cadence Bank, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender. Our production team is Natalie Barron and Edie Pingelli. Our executive producer is Daniel Cornell. This podcast is made in collaboration with the team at Lower Street, writing and production from Lise Lavati, sound design and mixing by Ben Crannell.
This podcast is provided as a free service to you and is for general informational purposes only. Cadence Bank and its affiliates make no representation or warranties as to the accuracy, completeness, or timeliness of the content in the podcast. The podcast is not intended to provide legal, accounting, or tax advice and should not be relied upon for such purposes. The views and opinions expressed by the host and guests in this podcast are solely their own current opinions regarding the subject matters discussed in the podcast and are based on their own perspectives. Such views, perspectives, and opinions do not reflect those of Cadence Bank or any of its affiliates or the companies in which any guest is or may be affiliated. The production and presentation of this podcast by Cadence Bank does not imply the expression of any opinion on part of Cadence Bank or any of its affiliates.